This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
We're on. Awesome. What's up, Steve?
What's up, Kyle?
Big day.
Oh, man. Happy Friday the 13th.
Happy Friday the 13th, yes.
And what a Friday the 13th.
Kill us this time, though.
Agreed. It's going to be an epic Friday the 13th. We have three very special guests in the house tonight. We have Jaronism. Welcome back, Jaronism.
You're muted.
Thank you very much. There you go.
And hello again, Reds.
What's up? What's up? What's up?
always good. And Sean, our guest moderator tonight. How are you doing, Sean?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on.
It's a pleasure. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time like I usually do in the very beginning going through what we have coming up. I'm just going to read it out real quick, and then we're going to jump straight into the discussion. Reminder that after the show, we will be doing an after show. That will be probably 30 minutes after the debate closes. The dibs on the places in the after show goes to patrons first. If you'd like a link, message me, Dave, or Steve, and we will try to work you in for that as well. Sunday, we have Scholar Fiction versus Soli Deo Gloria. They're going to be debating is the God of the Bible a God of hate? Monday, we have Caliph of God. He was a reschedule from this past Thursday. He's running for president in 2020, so he will be with us on Monday. And Alex Botten will be with us on Tuesday. And then Wednesday is the big birthday stream, 11.5K, 1.5 mil that we've been talking about over the past couple of weeks. You can catch more on the schedule at nonsecshow.com/schedule or follow us on Twitter. And that's at nonsecshow, N-O-N-S-E-Q show, and find out more on that. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Sean to talk about the format and introduce the topic for tonight.
And thank you, Kyle. First and foremost, we do have one minor bit of housekeeping to take care of. A lot of you are aware that Jade West passed on a couple weeks back. And there's been a fundraiser going on dealing with someone to help out someone who actually paid for her funeral that it's my understanding it's just her friend. And Red's Rhetoric is going to give a special announcement for that to open it up, and then we'll actually go back into the debate. So, Red, if you please.
Yes, thank you. So, if you look at the description of tonight's debate, you will see a PayPal link to Sean Hufford. Sean Hufford is going to kind of be the bank, if you will, to house all the donations that we get for tonight. After the debate, he will forward those to me, which will then be dispersed accordingly. It's going to be going to many different things revolving around the service for Jade West, such as transportation, hotel, and also some of it will be going to Jade's friend, which to my understanding, helped pay for getting everything prepared, which of course was not cheap. So if you guys can please do us all a favor, if you go to the PayPal link, again, in the description of this debate, donate what you can. That'll be most appreciated. Again, it's going to a person who lived an amazing life, who was an amazing friend, and she will be missed every single day from this point moving forward. Jade, thank you very much for being a friend. And everyone else, thank you so much for donating. And with that, let's go ahead and get started.
I just want to piggyback on that, Reds, that Jade will be missed by us all. And, you know, the loss was tremendous. So thank you for what you're doing for her.
Thank you.
All right. That all being said, let's go ahead and get down to the format of the debate, and then we'll get started. The format is pretty simple. Everybody's going to have a 2-minute introduction so they can introduce who they are, what they represent, and how they came to be here, or whatever else they want to throw in about themselves. Then we will move on to a 15-minute opening statement from each participant. We will flip a coin to see who goes first in each segment of the debate. After each person gets their opening statements, there will be a 10-minute rebuttal by each person about the other person's opening statement. After that, we move on to a 20-minute open discussion where pretty much everything is on, you know, open for grab or open for discussion, but I will be intervening if things get heated, language starts to get harsh, or things just start going wildly out of place. After that, we will have an open discussion about questions from the audience. The format is pretty simple. We're going to be presenting evidence that supports the model that each person is trying to push forward. Then you can actually rebut the evidence that they present in the rebuttal phase, of course. So other than that, it's pretty simple. I'd like to thank Jaren and Reds for finally doing this after 2 years. And yes, I am a biased person outside of a debate format, but as some of you have seen in a previous debate that I have moderated, I can be very fair, and I will jump down on either party if they go out of the format. So that being said, who wants to call for the coin flip?
I guess I will. I'm going to go ahead and call heads.
All right. I am flipping blind. Flip over. And we have heads. Who would you like to go first?
I would like Jaren to go first, please.
You all right with that, Jaren?
Yep.
All right. Before we actually start on the opening statements, I'm going to go ahead and give you the first introduction for 2 minutes.
Okay.
And go ahead and start whenever you're ready.
So my name is Jaren, and I am the creator of the channel Jarenism. Not the biggest fan myself of the name, because it was intended to imply like meism, basically stop trusting and believing in others and find out things for yourself. And so it kind of defeats the purpose when you start realizing you have subscribers or followers, quote unquote followers, then it looks like a religion. So that wasn't the intent. Of course, when I started my channel, I never intended to have more than 10 subscribers. So I've been doing this for 3 years now and have basically reached the conclusion that there is no practical experiments that prove that the Earth's a globe. There's lots of evidence that the Earth's a globe, but evidence is not proof. And so, you know, find somebody's shoe at a murder scene, and that's evidence that maybe that person was there, but it's certainly not proof that that person committed the murder. So that's basically it. You can find me at Jarenism.com, or my channel is Jarenism. I also have a radio show on Monday nights on TFR.
All right. Okay. So let me go ahead and reset the timer for Red. All right, Red, whenever you're ready.
All right. Thank you. First, can you hear me just fine?
Yes.
Okay. I will start now then. So, yep, my name is Red. I run the YouTube channel Red's Rhetoric. I started doing this around the same time that Jarenism did, mainly because the only reason I decided to get into Flat Earth is because I had a Google Hangout with him on Shadow Heathen's channel, where we both decided that this was actually going to be a thing. So see how that turned out. The question for tonight's debate is, which model best comports with reality, Flat Earth or Round Earth? I'm going to be arguing for the Round Earth standard model. And secondly, I want to tell you what I mean when I say that the Round Earth model can be verified to comport with reality. Every time I say that, I mean that it can be verified by you, that of the two models being proposed, the Round Earth model is the clear winner here. You don't have to go to NASA. You don't have to go to Neil deGrasse Tyson. You don't have to go to the church that imprisoned Galileo. You don't have to go to some random person on the internet that should be asking if Xanax is right for them. You can verify that the round earth model is the better model with basic equipment and maybe a few friends. So that means all the evidence I present here tonight will be from observations that I have done myself, or they will be from others like me who had the audacity to turn off their computer and make some observations on their own. So before we even begin, I must make it clear that if my opponent wishes to argue against me, that's fine. But he better not bring up NASA, SpaceX, ULA, Boeing, Roscosmos, ESA, JAXA, Blue Origin, Sierra Nevada Corporation, Rocket Lab, or any other of the fuck ton of entities that have the coin needed to get their asses to orbit. Why? Because I will not be bringing them up here, neither should he. So with that, I look forward to hearing what Jarenism has to present. With that, I kick it back to you, Sean, the moderator.
All right. Got that one kind of close, but okay. Jaren, I will go ahead and set up a 15-minute timer for your opening statement, and I will start the timer whenever you are ready.
I'm ready.
All right.
So I do think it's important that people recognize that I do need to kind of tell a story first, so that they understand, you know, where I'm coming from. We have to ask ourselves the question, if something is true because everyone believes it, or is it something true because it's true? For example, all the Mayans believed in their god, Quetzalcoatl, or whatever you want, whatever his name is pronounced. Is that god the true god? Well, of course, all of us would say no, you know, not at all, even if everyone believed it. Now, that'd be tough to prove to the Mayans. You know, wouldn't you say that if I showed up into that Mayan culture and tried to prove that that wasn't the correct god, well, they're going to start asking me questions like, well, how does the crops grow? How are babies born? And I'm not going to have an answer to that question, but it doesn't make my argument incorrect that when I say that their god is not the correct god, that is a fact. It's going to end up being the true statement there. But I'm going to have a hard time proving that when they've got their preconceived notions, their beliefs that they grew up with in that culture. So the beliefs that many people have in today's culture also come from the same kind of idea. Growing up under a certain indoctrination, I might call it, you might call it public education, but I call it indoctrination. When you sit everybody down and you make them memorize facts, it absolutely destroys science, and I'll get to that in a minute. So if people did come along and said, you know, I don't think that your God is correct, that person is not lying, or that person is not incorrect. They may not have the kind of evidence of how plants grow. They maybe not don't know about chlorophyll. They maybe, I mean, you know, we don't know. So to look at the world with scientific eyes is to look at the world without a bias. Now, the problem with that is that obviously all of us have biases, preconceived notions in everything that we do, and there's no way you can get around that. In fact, even if you're looking at an experiment or a test, the fact that you want to do that test or experiment, or the fact that you're going to do it, means that you have some sort of feeling about the test, or that you want it to go a certain way. So while people may just kind of come across as being very unbiased, we all have a bias, and we should admit that. So if you do science like Red does, like he'll talk about tonight, like Astronomy Live does, that Sean does, then you're doing science to confirm science. And confirming science is pseudoscience, because you can really prove anything. I mean, if you want to go out and prove Santa Claus exists, which is what Red will try and do tonight, that's easy, because you have tons of evidence. There's presents under the tree. There's lots of stories. There's songs. There's poems. So you can prove Santa Claus exists. When you try and disprove Santa, that's when things get interesting. And then what happens is a person basically only holds on to things that are actually true in their belief system, because you start to eliminate things you know, in a deductive way. So otherwise, you have never-ending arguments. For instance, if you're trying to prove Santa exists and then you see a parent bringing the presents, you can just say, oh, well, in this case, Santa needed to drop off the presents with the parents. He was running late. You can just keep making excuses, which is what I see happening everywhere, that you can bring up certain things that don't work with the globe, and you'll just get an excuse. And since basically the intellectual circles all are built around this idea of the globe Earth, then nobody's going to call each other out. For instance, if somebody, you know, like Sean or somebody like that says something that's wrong, that he's not going to get called out by that team because they want to propagate this idea of the globe. So when we really start testing theories truthfully, then we should try and destroy them. That should be the test. You know, science has lost its way, as have its followers, in my opinion, because are you trying to confirm science or disconfirm? And Karl Popper said that, you know, science disconfirms, pseudoscience confirms. So when you look at the channels like Wolfie, who, you know, many people consider, oh, you know, a death nail to flat earth. He's not a death nail to flat earth. He is an absolute pusher of pseudoscience because all he does is confirm the globe earth. Well, that's not science. That's going to be doing a disservice to everyone involved. And so I'm going to prove that tonight, that basically everything that they're doing is by design meant to show them the answer that they get. So Red will argue tonight that his model best matches reality. And so let's start there. If a model matches reality best, is it really any good if there are many other models that equally model it? So say, for instance, that we change the sun to 3 million miles in diameter and say that it's 330 million miles away and the Earth is still spinning 1,000 miles per hour. Well, if you start...
Hold on, Jaron. I've paused the timer at 10 minutes. You've just spent 5 minutes and have not presented one single thing for your model yet.
Fantastic. It's my opening statement. So,
and that's kind of the whole point of the opening statement, is to present evidence for your model.
Okay. Fantastic.
So starting the timer again.
Yeah. If the debate is, as I was told, which model best suits reality, then what I'm proving here is that there's many models that can prove reality, because the Earth could be traveling at 236,575 miles around the sun in a 2.1 billion mile yearly orbit. The moon would be 5,100 miles in diameter and 565,000 miles away. And guess what? Not a damn thing would change from Earth. Not a thing. And that's proof right in and of itself that the model that Red's going to present tonight mathematically is going to be correct mathematically. But so is the one I just named. And so are a billion others that can be concocted mathematically. Again, I can have a mathematical treatise here that tells you all the distance between all the rides on my my theme park, and it can have all the trajectories and the angles, and everything can be 100% perfect. But guess what? I don't have a theme park. It's completely fake. Yet I can provide you mathematical evidence all I want. And then if I start saying, well, go measure this and measure that and look at this from this angle, and you might be able to pull those out and say that they are confirming, but it's not confirming anything. So I understand that I'll have issues tonight with most of the audience, mostly for one reason. Red, as well as many of you, think that science has all the answers. You think that we have all these great gadgets and tools and inventions that we all use because science has the answers, and it's absolutely the false thing to think. We have those things because science does not have all the answers. So what happened in the past is people were able to basically break trends and to do things in different ways. And that's how we discovered all the great things we've discovered. And now what you guys have become is a team of haters, that if things do not conform to what science believes now, you call people names, you have a problem with everything that they're saying, when that is what science is. All throughout history, you can look at science as the constant removal of what was before it. Science has never been right. And so I wanted to point that out. I mean, if you look at it this way, many of my, you know, you want to say I don't provide evidence. The evidence is that when you take a look at the way that the heliocentric model came to be and you research it from the beginning until the end, you will see that it does not match our reality, that there's evidence for it that has been propped up, things that have been said for thousands of years that do not stand the test of time. You know, I could show many things, including books written back 1600, 1500, and 1400 that do not jive with the reality of what we're taught today. One of those being, you know, Newton discovering gravity, whereas it's talked about extensively in Copernicus's book, where he's explaining exactly what gravity is. He says exactly what happens and why the Earth's a sphere, and it's because of gravity, and it's everything's being pulled equally to the center. So once you realize this, you realize you're being told a story. It's just like the religions that told me that Jesus was my savior. They told me a story, and I needed to believe what they said based on just the fact that they said it. And that's what's going on with this, that just because you tell me how big Saturn is, I have to believe it. It may work mathematically. I still have to believe you and trust you to believe it. That, to me, is not conforming to reality. that is a great story. So, you know, if you're talking about Rupert Sheldrake or, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson, for example, one of those people will never change the world. They will never invent or change anything. They will.
I pause the timer again, Jaron. You agreed to the format before we began that it was going to be presenting evidence to support your model. You have yet to do that, and you have 6 minutes and 32 seconds left.
Okay. If you, what is an opening statement when, even before this, what did you say about the opening statement, that we could say anything?
No, the open discussion is whatever you guys want to talk about. The opening statement is to present evidence to support the model you believe in.
Okay. Sounds great.
So starting the timer again, you got 6:32 left.
Okay. So again, I'll just point out that when you have to prove your model, disproving somebody else's is the model of reality is proof of your model. That is proof of it. So, I mean, I am sticking around proof and telling you why people should disbelieve or should question what we've all been taught. When it's a story that is mathematical only, that has no basis in reality, none of you have ever, let's put it this way, nobody has a picture of the Earth. When's the last time somebody took a photo of the Earth? Well, if you believe in the moon landings, which good luck to you if you believe in that. But if you believe in the moon landings, then 1972 is the last time a human being was able to take a photograph of the Earth as a ball. That's ridiculous. For me, I don't believe in the moon landing. So that means that there is no person in the history of this world that has ever taken a photograph of the Earth. And when I have NASA telling me, oh, well, we can go out there and we can do these things, and all satellite pictures are run through computer. Every single one of them has to go through a computer before anybody ever sees it. And so if you want to...
What? Do you just want to forfeit your time since you're not going to present any evidence to support your model?
This is all evidence to support the model.
No, you're not. The whole point of providing evidence to support your model was to not bash the opposing model. We agreed to this before we started.
Okay, I thought you said the opening statement was for anything, but that's fine. That's fine. Okay. So as evidence of my model is the fact that we cannot find any measured curvature, nor can we find any proof that is a mechanical proof, repeatable, observable proof of the globe. When you do go out and you do observe the area around you, you'll realize that it's flat, that it's the stars appear close. So the evidence for that is going to be lots of things. I have a test coming up that is going to be one that is risky, which is what science tests should be. They should be risky in the fact that you could be disproving your theory. Nobody tries to disprove the globe theory. So there is no measurable curvature on the Earth. We've been told that there is, but clearly we've seen, or I've shown, that geodesy measures basically perspective and calls that a drop in the Earth going away from you in distance. As far as other evidences, when you take circle mathematics and you reduce things down to radians, I don't think that math is correct when showing what would happen on a circle. When you're figuring out the curvature of a circle, taking a small angle and calling that a certain amount of radians and then changing that to a certain degree, because you have to multiply that out and it comes out to 180, not 360. That's another one of the evidences against the globe. But as far as evidence for the flat Earth, there needs to be a concerted effort from a group of people to get the kind of evidence that people would call proof. That it's not going to be a couple people sitting at home on their computers that are going to refute the entirety of science for the last 400 years. So I think it's a little premature to be requiring from people that have, you know, come on their computer and just are voicing out that they do not believe anymore in what they were taught. That I think it's asking a lot. I mean, you know, Copernicus's book came out. It was 100 years until people even started to believe it, start to listen to it. So to say in 3 years that, you know, the flat Earth movement should have the kind of proof and evidence that the globe Earth has would be ridiculous. But again, my evidence is my senses, my understanding of the globe Earth model. The problem with somebody saying things like, well, you can't mention NASA. Well, nobody would be a flat earther if it wasn't for NASA. Nobody. Nobody at all. NASA is a completely inept organization, period. They're a huge reason why there's this upkick in people believing that the Earth isn't a sphere, because they've done nothing on their end to prove it. So whether or not Red wants to say, oh, well, we don't need to mention those people, that's fine. But if it wasn't for NASA, I wouldn't be here today. If it wasn't for the fact that when you research the globe Earth and you try and go back, you find it to be a series of stories told by priests, aka scientists and historians, that have managed to convince people that this story is true, even though we know nothing about history is true. And the other thing about what you guys will try and do is say that, you know, a lot of my beliefs are based on a conspiracy theory or conspiracies. And I just hope that people recognize that everything that goes on in your daily life is a conspiracy. So that is ridiculous. From buying things at the store, from paying for gas, the price of gas is a conspiracy. That's a fact. It's not a question of whether or not things are a conspiracy or whether conspiracies can exist. You know, so there's tons of evidence that conspiracies exist. Therefore, that's not a good argument against the globe. And again, what I think Red's going to do tonight is try and prove to you with mathematics. He's going to try and make himself seem smart. But again, when you've been taught something from day one in class and you've become really prolific at it, you know, that would be a scary thing if that person was taught lies, because what they would be is a really good liar. They'd be really good at repeating what they were taught. And if the people who taught it originally were trying to get something across that wasn't true, well, then, you know, God help us all. The other thing would be that, to think that humans have in the last 10 or let's say 100 years, in the last 100 years that you live, those of you who believe that the Earth is 4.54 billion years old, or believe that, the universe is 14 billion years old. If you believe that you live in that 100 year period, of time where humans have discovered the age of the universe and the distance to the stars, there's nothing more cocky than that. To think that you just happen to be in that one little area where humans have become smart, smart enough to look back in time, to look out into the distant future, or to look back in time in the distance when you look at stars. So I have a lot of evidence against the globe. And all of that combines for me to say, why would these people be putting on this kind of a lie? And why would they be stocking up their evidence in support of this globe? And the only thing I can come up with is that the Earth is not what we were taught. If flat Earth was proven by my experiment, we can talk about that later, or we can, I can, you know, I'll announce it on my channel in the next coming days. If I am proven wrong by this experiment, because this experiment will show conclusively if the Earth is a sphere, and if it is, then I will immediately become a geocentric.
All right, Jaron, your time is up. Thank you. So, passing it on to you, Red, for your opening statements presenting evidence for the model you support.
All right. Thank you very much. Before I begin, can I make sure that...
Oh, go ahead.
I know. I need to make sure that Ballinator's ready.
Okay.
That's it.
I'm listening. All sorry. Right. I was... My audio went kooky for a second.
Okay. So you're ready?
I am ready to present on your behalf, yes.
All right, timer starts when you okay. do.
Okay, so Sean, do me a favor and count me down.
3, 2, 1, go.
Thank you. Well, when we say evidence for a model, we meant present evidence for your model. That means positive evidence for the flat Earth, not rhetoric against mine. So allow me to show you how it's done. So, first of all, I want to thank the Non Sequitur Show for hosting this debate, and thanks to Sean Hufford for moderating this debate. To start off, let me draw your attention to that big glowy thing in the sky called the sun. Because the fact is this, what you observe above your head can tell you a lot about what is under your feet. Next. On October 1st, 2017, my friend Slicebar Kane posted a video where a bunch of volunteers from all over the planet measured the altitude angles of the sun during the equinox. Their goal was to find out if the round Earth model would agree with the data gathered from their observation. So participants in 9 different countries conducted the simple observation, sorry, which is very similar to the Eratosthenes observation done over 2,000 years ago. Using the latitude of each participant, the sun's elevation angle was measured during solar noon. These angles were then placed on a sphere to see if the angles corresponded accordingly. The end result was this. When the lines of altitude were plotted, the only model that resulted in zero contradictions was the globe model. This observation even verified the accepted size of the globe, because the stick lines, which are the lines that were perpendicular to the Earth's surface during the observation,
going to pause for a second, Red. Going to pause for a second. For some reason, Jaren cannot see the screen.
I don't think he's supposed to.
Oh, well, I just thought I was supposed to be following what you were showing, but I don't see that.
Well,
Oh wait, I can actually turn it. So if I turn on the show, I can follow it just a little bit behind.
Yeah.
I'll do it that way. Sorry. Go ahead.
You actually should be able to see the screen here.
I just see Bulinator, and then no matter what I click on up top, I'm not seeing any other share.
Up top, where I showed you how to the gallery view and all that, click that and change your from gallery view to speaker view. That should present the screen for you.
Okay. If all not, right. I'll switch it on the channel.
All right, so going ahead and starting the timer again in 3, 2, 1, go.
I'll just start a little bit behind. So, once again, using the latitude of each participant, the sun's elevation angle was measured during solar noon. These angles were then placed on a sphere to see if the angles would correspond accordingly. The end result was this. When the lines of altitude were plotted, the only model that resulted in zero contradictions was the globe model. This observation even verified the accepted size of the globe, because the stick lines, which are the lines that were perpendicular to the Earth's surface during the observation, all converged to a point being the center of a sphere. And those measurements were used to calculate the size of our globe. Thank you. Mute if you're not talking, please. However, this observation also hinted that the sun was extremely far away. So if that could be verified, then Sly's observation is rooted in reality to an even greater extent. Well, lucky for him, this comports with my observation that I did in my video, Zeteticism.com versus the sun. Next. The sun has a known angular size of around 0.53 degrees as seen from Earth. And this is the case all day, all year, all the time, no matter where you are. If you were to look at the sun through a solar filter and track it all day long like I did 2 years ago, you would see that the sun would remain the same angular size in the frame. This makes sense because if the sun is the size asserted and at the distance asserted, we would not expect to see any shift in angular size as predicted by a law of perspective. The law of perspective being alpha equals 2 times the arctan of g over 2r, alpha being the angular size of an object, g being the actual size of the object, and r being the distance to the object. So observations done in reality confirm what we would expect to see from a distant sun. And that distant sun comports with the observation done by Sly and his volunteers, which show the size and shape of our Earth. These observations hold water in one more way, and that is in the fact that they can be repeated. Observable, testable, and repeatable experimentation or observation is how we understand the world around us. And when applied here, the globe was on the correct side of the equal sign. I've spoken to the moderator of tonight's debate, and listed in the description will be a link to Sly's video and my video so you can watch it on your own time. The next line of evidence I wish to present would be direct observation of curvature from the ground. It is commonly pointed out by many that engage in this debate that water always finds its level. And this is something I agree with. Water does find its level. And if by being level, water would have to conform to a curved Earth, then large bodies of water should allow us to see the curvature directly with the help of a visual reference, because level does not mean flat. However, this observation can be quite difficult to make because we are at the mercy of atmospheric clarity or atmospheric distortion. So this is where being very selective with the days you plan on making the observation become very important. But if you do make your observation on a clear day, then you will see what a user by name of MC the MC1 was able to record. Next. Listed in the description of this debate is the video I am referring to. It shows a tanker ship being partially obscured by the horizon, yet with absolutely no visual limitations via the atmosphere. This observation was done on a very clear day. No atmospheric refraction is in the video. It's also worth pointing out that we have enough angular size to work with when it comes to the ship in question. Therefore, the only reason why the ship would be partially not visible is if something was in the way. And the video clearly shows that it's the water that's in the way, the very same water that finds its own level. This is great because it's exactly what is predicted by the round earth model. The only thing that could make it better is if I did this observation myself, which I did. Next. Listed in the description of this debate again is my observations repeated video where I filmed a sailboat disappearing over the horizon. While not as clear as the first video that was referenced, it is clear enough to show the geometry of our planet at work. Another way this could be done is with a continuous visual reference, like with a straight and leveled bridge. Thankfully, my good friend and John Cena look-alike named Soundly lives near Lake Pontchartrain and Lake Pontchartrain Causeway. The length of this bridge makes it possible to see the curvature of the Earth directly, given a clear enough day. Next. When atmospheric clarity allows for it, you get observations like the one listed in the description of this debate. What is amazing here is that this observation was virtually modeled with the assumed size and shape of the globe. And when you compare the computer renderings to what was actually observed, they match perfectly. This shows that the round Earth model made a prediction, and that prediction turned out to be the case. This is great because only models that are able to reliably make predictions are the ones that should be followed and trusted. And I think it's safe to say that the round Earth model has passed that test. Not only does it pass the test with predictions, it gives us a damn good explanation on why our reality is the way it is. Why is it that light from the sun will run along the Earth's surface in the morning and also in the evening? Why is it that we have two points in which stars rotate, one in the north and one in the south? Why is it that people north of the equator are unable to see the southern celestial pole, and vice versa? The round Earth model provides an answer to all of these questions, and like it or not, it demonstrates that the round Earth model at the very least comports with reality, because this phenomenon that we experience, that we all can verify, is exactly what we should expect given the round Earth model. Light will run along the Earth's surface because a single light source can only illuminate half the sphere at a time, leaving the edges of the illuminated surface to be tangent with the line of light. We have two poles because a spinning sphere, or a sphere being rotated around, will have an axis, leading to two celestial points. And those poles will not be visible to the opposite hemisphere because they run into the same exact problem that the ships do when disappearing bottom up and eventually out of sight. The geometry of a spherical Earth. On September 2nd, 2015, December 22nd, 2017, and June 29, 2018, the geometry of our planet made itself known in a very beautiful way. As stated previously, an illuminated sphere will have edges to that illumination, and the edges of the illuminated surface will be tangent with the line of light. This also means that just before dawn and just after dusk, light would actually be heading upward and away from the surface and at an angle according to the round Earth model. So even though it would be dark where you are, there is indeed sunlight streaming overhead. You just happen to be at a location where the sun's light is blocked by the curvature of the Earth. So if an object were to travel high enough, they could cross into the path of light, thus illuminating itself. They would be seeing over the curve. That is what is predicted by the round Earth model, but has it been verified to actually be the case? Well, this is where those dates that I mentioned are important to this argument. Next. The dates mentioned previously are dates of rocket launches, and think of them what you will, but these engineering examples of pure badassery have the capability to reach the altitudes needed. And listed in the description of this debate again are links that document each rocket launch that I am referring to. I was lucky to see two luminous launches in my life, and that is why two of the links provided go to my own video that documented the event. Once again, the round Earth model made a prediction, and that prediction turned out to be the case. Following a similar example, but much closer to home, the moderator of tonight's debate, Sean Huffer, filmed multiple sunrises with his DJI Mavic Pro. Next. This follows the exact same concept as the previous line of evidence, but does it in a way that anybody could repeat without having to wait for a rocket launch. What he did was very simple. He had his drone set at altitude and waited till the sun was visible. As soon as the sun was just visible, he dropped altitude and the sun disappeared again. And he repeated this multiple times, resulting in multiple sunrises. The geometry of a spherical Earth predicts that that would be the case. And when it was actually tested, it turned out to actually be the case. In fact, I did the same observation with my DJI Mavic Pro, but with a sunset, not a sunrise. And when my Mavic Pro gained altitude, the sun that had already set came back into frame. The facts of our reality are once again comporting with the round Earth model. The link to Sean's video will be listed down below, as all the previous links that I mentioned, so you can watch them on your own time. I said it before and I will say it again. Observable, testable, and repeatable experimentation or observation is how we understand the world around us. And when applied here, the globe was on the correct side of that equal sign. This shouldn't be surprising to anyone because the round Earth model comports with reality, the reality we all experience and observe. I now surrender the rest of my time to the moderator.
All right. Had 3:30 left over on that. It's pretty awesome. Jaren, you will have 10 minutes to rebut anything that Red said in his opening statement. Let me know when you're ready. You're muted.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay. So what Red just did was gave us a whole bunch of experiments and examples of why he thinks that the globe Earth has been proven or shown to be the better model of reality. And, you know, I have to ask about the Antikythera mechanism, which was, dated at different periods, but clearly before the heliocentric model and even before the ball Earth model was accepted as fact. That's another thing that, you know, they've tried to change on us is the ball Earth belief that it was known for 2,500 years. Nobody ever questioned it. Which is simply not the case. It's even, you know, chapter 2 of Copernicus's book was putting forth the evidence that the Earth is a sphere as if it was still being discussed. It was still a point of contention, which is completely against anything that anybody says now in the scientific world. But to refute things that Red said, he started out by talking about Slice-Barkane's test, which is exactly what I said at the beginning would be done, is pointing out tests that do not have any kind of fear behind them, because you're just going out and reconfirming exactly what we already know. Earlier this year, Wolfie went to Honolulu on the equinox to film the sun setting at 270 degrees and called that proof of anything. That's pseudoscience, because it's just going to prove, to reconfirm what we already know to be the case. There's no way, and he knows that he's going to come across evidence in the contrary. So that's not scientific in my mind. You're not trying to disprove anything. You're simply going out to reconfirm, and that does no good for anybody. I would much rather, or much more interested in somebody who has a chance to shatter the going paradigms, who has a chance to break down current beliefs, because that's how we grow. That's how you make a life-changing discovery. That's how you make something that moves humanity into the next epoch. We don't have that opportunity anymore because of people like Steve, like other people who will demean you if you don't believe exactly in the scientific beliefs today, as if we've discovered everything, as if everything has already come to light and that we're so smart that now we can just sit back and relax, which isn't the case. Imagine if we had a book of every 100 years, the science that was discovered by the end of that 100 years. Well, because none of the inventions that came after that were known to be in existence, every book would be a separate belief system, and it would be considered true in that time. But each different 100-year segment has a whole new, plethora of discoveries, which is being blocked by current beliefs and just going around saying, hey, the globe is true because, Slice-Barkane went out and had people measure the distance to, said sun. So my thing still stands as well, when you talked about this test that Sly did, if we did it on the same exact thing, but my sun instead. So my sun being the 3 million miles across and the 330 million mile distance, it is the exact same angular diameter. Its angular size is identical and the test results would have been the same. So if that model is the model that conforms to reality, why is it that I'm able to use scaling invariance and change it to whatever I want? In fact, if you look back, Newton clearly didn't know the distance to the sun. Neither did Copernicus. Copernicus thought it was 3. Newton thought it was 50. Kepler thought it was 12. Well, why doesn't it matter? It's because we're using mathematics and scaling indifference. It doesn't make a difference. Same thing with the weight of the Earth, the mass of the moon. All these things can just be changed on a whim. Are you going to go out and measure what the weight of the moon is? No. So they can tell you anything they want. They can adjust it in any way they want. And if you think that's a good way to conform or meet, to make a model that conforms to reality, something that can be changed on a whim to any different number, is crazy to me. So see what else he said here, that he talked about water finding its level. Again, you know, we don't have any proof that things grow to a sphere because of gravity. This is another presupposition that has been forced on us from the age of two, telling us the way that spheres work. Yet I've seen in the ISS, for instance, or in parabolic flights, they've dumped thousands of ping pong balls. Did those ping pong balls gather together and join a sphere? Absolutely not. They went every which way. If you dumped out a pitcher of water on the ISS, would it join together into a ball? Nope, absolutely not. It goes every which way. So you have to just throw away all your observations and say, oh, but in the beginning of time, the ball Earth became a fact because dust gathered together, even though it doesn't happen, dust gathered together into a sphere and became a planet. Why didn't gravity take off from the very first point of the Big Bang? Everything should be one giant ball if gravity were real. So these are the kind of problems with the models that are just so easily said, oh, this is proof of this or this is proof of that, when it's not. You have to presuppose the globe, and then from there, you might find some evidence that makes you say, oh, this is a globe. As far as that tanker ship that Red showed, saying that there was no atmospheric refraction, I could show you evidence that we have a guy by the name of Good Times for All who did an experiment in a warehouse that he works in, like a super long warehouse, where he lined up a bunch of these black, I don't know how tall they were, probably 4 or 5 inches, lines those up all the way down this warehouse floor and films it from behind. And what happens is you get a line of those, if you drew a line from the bottom of those containers all the way to a certain point, the line goes up. And at a certain point, there is a hard line that becomes the horizon, and everything after that falls behind it. It is clear, it's provable, it's repeatable. The whole beliefs of things coming up over curves, and we've got floaty land, and we've got refraction that is lifting the sun up over the edge of the Earth. At the same time, it lifts the moon up over the edge of the Earth. It's ridiculous. What do you mean? On the side of the Earth where it's warm, the sun is refracting. So we're actually seeing a sun that's not there. It's behind the horizon, but we actually get to see it. And if you turn around from you during like a solenion or some sort of eclipse, you can see that the moon is doing the same thing. And we're told the exact same thing's happening, that it's actually below the horizon, but is being refracted up for you to see. So to believe in the heliocentric model, you got to believe that we're seeing around curves, we're seeing around bends. They say light bends, light just refracts. It doesn't bend. You know, even when you see the pitcher of water and they plug, or a bottle of water, they plug a hole in it and the water comes out and they shine a laser and it looks like the, no, if you actually got as close as you could to that light, the light is simply reflecting inside that droplets of water. Light, you know, it, light doesn't bend like that. Also Red showed, he filmed a sailboat, and I clearly showed where there's so much water after that sailboat. I showed where you can actually see birds diving inside of it. You can see a reflection of the sky above. It all has to do with our angular resolution, has to do with the angle that things become too small to see. After that point, they are simply reflecting the sky. You can't really see. And so where we see a hard line of the horizon, that is an optical effect. I've got peer-reviewed papers that'll tell you that you cannot see the horizon, that the horizon is an optical effect. It has nothing to do with the physical reality of the Earth. That is peer-reviewed. Because it simply isn't the, if that were the case, then, you know, if there was train tracks, why do the train tracks meet in the distance perceptibly at the same point where the Earth seems to curve away from you? Well, no, the train tracks meet because that's our eyes. It's happening inside of our eyes. It is the picture that's being formed, and that is because of perspective. Therefore, the Earth, to that to be the point where things dip over the side is ridiculous. That would be just by chance. It happens to be the same distance away as the train tracks meet, and that you, the Earth curves away from you. It's just, it's a ridiculous belief. So he said that the round Earth model answers all of the questions that are asked of it. Yeah. And it presupposes and needs that the stars are an infinite distance away. And it makes, it doesn't make easy to come up with cosmology when you get to use that as one of your excuses. Oh, those stars are an infinite distance away. They are, you know, hundreds of millions and billions or trillions of miles away. I mean, to think that is ridiculous. I mean, look at what they say about Polaris, the difference in its apparent size, or what they say it could be, the plus or minus basically on its distance. You're talking about hundreds of trillions of miles of unknown, and it's only 40 or 400 light years away, and yet they're off by hundreds of trillions of miles. Or they'll tell you that, plus or minus. Not that they're off, they know it. So if they don't know the distances of close stars, why would we ever let them tell us that they know the distance of the far stars? How much time do I have?
You have 50 seconds left.
Okay, so Red talked about the sun that Sean filmed. And again, people need to understand what it is that Red wants to call proof when the flat earth describes the exact same thing. If you get up off the ground, you are increasing the angles that you're seeing things that are further away, so you can see further when you get up higher. It's the most ridiculous claim for globe earth truth I've ever seen. To believe that you're actually on a ball, getting up higher, seeing further on the ball is ridiculous. You would see things falling away from you. We don't see anything ever falling away from the earth, even on the ISS or even further. The reason for that is because it is not a ball. What you're seeing is the end of your ability to see, and you can only see in a circle. And since you only see in a circle, then what you see around you can look like a ball, especially when NASA films everything with a GoPro camera. Then with fisheye, it's very easy to confuse people and to have them believing that they live on a ball when they...
All right. Your time is up. Interesting. Reds, are you ready for your rebuttal on Jaren's evidence that he brought forth for the flat earth?
Sure.
I'll give you 10 minutes.
Whenever you're ready, just count me down.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, I'm not exactly sure what I'm supposed to be rebutting, because I thought I would be rebutting his evidence for a flat earth, but there's a problem. He didn't present evidence for a flat earth. He's only presenting supposed negative evidence against mine. Well, here's the thing. Let's hypothetically say that Jaren was able to disprove my model right now. He hasn't, but let's say he did. How does that show that his model is better than any other model out there? Just because mine has been debunked does not mean that yours is the winner by default. It could be that yours is just as wrong as mine. And also, you said that you've never seen evidence of curvature, even though people have been very vocal about showing it to you. Well, let me also say this. Absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. Just because you don't see any evidence of curvature doesn't mean that the curvature is not there. So how does this support your flat earth? How is it that evidence for your flat earth, how does that support anything that you've been saying? Just because I disproved your model, once again, does not mean that mine is right by default. Evidence does not mean truth. Well, I agree with you there. Evidence does not mean truth. You can have evidence for something that's completely wrong. But the question is not which model is true, Jaren. The question for tonight's debate is which model best comports with reality. My model may be completely wrong, but if my model best comports with reality, or at the very least does a better job than yours, then I have won the debate. We do our best to construct the best map of reality as possible. And you are claiming that our map does not comport to reality at all, or that your map does a better job of it. So demonstrate it. Stop beating up on mine and present evidence for yours. Do we all have a bias? Yes. We do have a bias, but if you wish to know if a pen works, you use it. Just because I have a bias because this is my favorite pen doesn't mean that if I actually use it, it's going to start working or whatever. It actually working demonstrates that's working. This shows that you don't really understand science. You don't have to want to disprove a paradigm. You just have to perform experiments that could disprove it if that particular result was to be observed. Also, you said that you bring up your senses and you like to go to them first. Well, you're a fallible human being just like me. You make mistakes just like you and me. You're not perfect just like, you know, me. You're not perfect. No one is. Yet you claim your senses are sensitive enough to detect or debunk a rotation of once in a 24-hour period. I'm sorry. You do not possess that capability. Try to measure the angular size of the sun with just your sense of sight. You're going to go blind, dude. tools and equipment that are more sensitive than you being used does not hint to a conspiracy or intellectual honesty. It also doesn't hint to this big one new world order that has hacked your P900 to show ships disappearing over the horizon. It doesn't work that way. So whenever we use optical equipment, scales, or whatever the hell we decide to use, that does not hint at a conspiracy. And that does not mean that our experiments are invalidated by default because we didn't decide to use our senses or come to the conclusion that our senses are oh so perfect. So again, you brought up the mass of the Earth and how it was calculated. Question, did I bring up the mass of the Earth? No, because the mass of the Earth is irrelevant to the shape of the Earth. I never anchored an exact weight to the Earth. I also never brought up gravity. Can you please tell me where gravity was brought up? So this entire time, you have been bringing up things that I didn't bring up. I also never anchored an exact distance for the sun. I just said that the sun was very far away, a hell of a lot farther away than what you guys say has to be the case on your flat Earth. You're bringing up stuff that I did not bring up, and I warned you that this would happen, but what you're doing is that you're engaged in a straw man. And in which case, you're not debunking anything that I brought up. Jaren did mention the one thing that I brought up, though, which was my ship disappearing over the horizon video. He also mentioned that he brought up a video that he did in a response to my video. Jaren didn't mention that I also made a video to his video, to my video. And I debunked his video that he made against mine. When you superimpose the ship in full, referencing the undisturbed portion, which Jaren admitted there were in his original video, the ship not only disappears underneath Jaren's asserted horizon, but also the actual horizon. And in fact, in my video discussing my ship observation with Jaren, we discussed this observation with Jaren, where Jaren admits that the ship is below the refractive line, the asserted line, and the actual horizon. There was at no point within that entire discussion that the ship was seen in full. The problem still exists for the flat Earth. The reason is because on a flat Earth, the only thing we should expect to see is the ship shrinking in size in totality. We should not see it arbitrarily disappear bottom up at an arbitrary distance. That's not how this works. Why? Because parallel lines do not intersect by definition. And with the first video that I brought up when I was presenting actual evidence for my model, something that we were both supposed to do, I mentioned that we had enough angular size and angular resolution to work with. So why is it then that that ship was disappeared? Why was that ship hidden by water? Supposed water that finds its level, regardless why it's finding its level, regardless if it's gravity, magnetism, or unicorn farts, it doesn't matter. There was something blocking the way, and that something was the geometry of our planet, and you have presented nothing that goes against that. The only thing that you have said is that indoctrination, falsification, these people are dishonest, or these people don't really want to disprove the globe. Well, this is the really cool thing about science, Jaren. You can do it yourself. In fact, if I remember correctly, you and the Globusters team were actually invited to participate in the video that Sly made and that I referenced at the very beginning. You were invited. You had the opportunity to contribute your data points as well as everyone else that watches Globusters. But you didn't, did you? And you also have the ability to do it yourself. And you say you don't want to because we already know the answer. Yeah, we do. We do already know the answer. But there's one thing that leads itself to show the strength of the globe model is that observation can be repeated over and over and over again. And try to hate it as much as you can. Try to have so much bias at the very start of it. Those results, if done properly, will not change, whether you're for it or against it. This is the beautiful thing about science, because if you follow the scientific method to the T, it doesn't actually give a damn about your opinion, about whatever subject you're harping on about. So, science opens the door for you. If you think you have the capability of rewriting the textbooks, then go ahead. No one is stopping you. But as of right now, you have not shown how your model comports with reality. You have not given anything valid that goes against any of my evidence. You brought up even more conspiracy theories, which you definitely cannot verify, nor can anyone verify in the outside chat or even in the stream. So where are we supposed to go from here? What are we supposed to do with all of this useless drivel? So with that, I relinquish the rest of my time to Sean Hufford, the moderator.
All right. And you left off with a minute 30. So this will lead us to the part where we have an open back and forth between Jern and Red for the next 20 minutes. And is everybody good with that?
Yep.
All right. I will only interrupt if you guys start getting abrasive and confrontational beyond a certain point. So go ahead. No, and
no problem. So Red, in talking about the boats that you just talked about going over the curve, going over the edge, you said that I didn't bring any evidence against what we see matching exactly what the globe calls for, and there's nothing that can be said against that. What about diffraction? I mean, do we know what that is? Do you know what that is? And do you understand it enough to realize that it would always exist when looking at the horizon, especially over water?
Well, a bit of a correction there. I didn't say you didn't bring up any evidence against that. I said you brought up no valid evidence for my example, because the very first video that I showed in my opening clearly shows that there is no distortion to the images in question. When you're looking at that tanker ship, you don't see any doubling. You see no inversion layer. You see no blending or mixing or anything like that. And I agree that my video is not the best. The day I did my observation was not the best. But the first example, the one recorded by MC, the MC1, was able to clearly show ships disappearing over the curve of the Earth, but with no distortion to the ship in question. That video clearly shows that. So yes, I do know what those things are, and that is why I'm telling you that those things are not a problem when those things are not present.
So diffraction is not present in that video? The waves that you see, the peaks of the waves, those are exactly as they are in reality? They're that size, everything?
Yeah. Now, when you say in that size, do you mean perspectively? Perspectively, they are that size, but I'm talking about the ship itself.
Okay, but we can use the area around the ship to decide whether or not there's any kind of distortion going on at all.
You can. And guess what? The peaks of the waves are also pin sharp.
Okay, well, that's the limit of your ability to see. But diffraction...
How is it the limit of my ability to see when I can see the ship that's further away?
Well, because that's higher up and it has a higher, bigger angle. But that's
how does altitude dictate how far I can see?
Because with altitude growing, the angle of which an item enters your eye it grows larger. The larger an angle, the larger it is for your eye to resolve it.
The larger the angle means that it just occupies more of your field of view. But in this case, if you were to increase your elevation also on a flat earth, you would actually extending the hypotenuse of the right triangle that you're making you actually further away from the object in question. And so if the issue here is distance, then given what you're telling me, we should actually have a harder time seeing the ship, not a better time seeing the ship or an easier time seeing the ship.
So the angle that things come into your eye, right? That's how you get your angular resolution. And if you're close to the ground, then you have a very tiny angle between that item, the ground, and your eye. By increasing your height, you're growing the angle, allowing more things to be visible. That should be simple geometry. I wouldn't know why you'd argue that.
Well, I agree that it is simple geometry, which is why I'm struggling to understand why you don't get it. Because if that ship is disappearing via just the law of perspective alone, we should actually be able to see the entire ship disappear as a whole, not arbitrarily bottom up, because parallel lines do not intersect by definition. That is also geometry. Otherwise, we would expect to see train tracks crossing over in the distance, and we never see that.
I agree with you. So,
So that means that your explanation does not make any sense when applied to something that we can all independently verify.
So when you see a boat that appears behind that hard line of the water, okay, that's not what I'm talking about when you said, why do we see more when we get up high?
Yeah, well, I know why we see more when we get up high. We see more when we get up high because we're actually able to see over more of the Earth.
Okay, so if that were the case, that we're seeing over the said hump, or you know, whatever you want to say, then have you seen the evidence that you know, I've shown for Wolfie's video, that we're looking through a layer of atmosphere that is breaks up things in the distance? And I've shown that to be the case because there's hills that you can see behind the item when you're up high. And then when you get down at the beach level, a lot of things are broken up. So he says, oh, see here, we got the, you know, the lighthouse is covered by this water. But what isn't noticed is that the hills behind that lighthouse are gone now. When you're down low, the water's clearly not blocking those hills. So what is blocking, what is taking those hills out of our eyesight?
I'm not sure about the video that you were referring to. I'll have to watch it. And that would have been great evidence to actually put forward, which unfortunately you didn't. But I'll tell you this, that when it comes to my video, the one that I actually brought up that everyone had to see and the one I'll stick with here, it could be the case that atmospheric distortion, refraction, or just, you know, crappy clarity of the air could be the reason why objects in the distance disappear. However, we have enough angular resolution to see the ship. We have enough clarity to see the ship. And yet the ship is being obscured by the water that finds its own level. So we have three things that are going for us here. Three things that we can operate on. What do those three things show given the geometry of our planet? It shows that of the two models up for discussion in tonight's debate, the round Earth model accurately predicts that. The flat Earth model does not, because on a flat Earth, we should see the ship in full.
So why would that be the case? You can't just say that. I mean, that's a non sequitur.
Because parallel lines do not intersect by definition. Otherwise, what we would be able to see is train tracks crossing over in the distance. And we don't see that, as you yourself admitted. If the law of perspective operates the way that you claim it would, then that's exactly what we would see. Yeah, I have two P900s and a telescope and a lot of train tracks around me that can attest to the exact opposite being the truth, which means that the assertion that parallel lines do not intersect by definition means that parallel lines do not intersect by definition. One is one in this case.
Okay, let me, can I show a video real quick? Just a little portion of it.
I'll stand by.
So I'm going to share.
And then after this, I would like to ask you some questions.
Sure, of course. Okay, so I'm sharing this. Tell me if you can see a video here.
Hold on a second. Yeah, I can. I prefer.
Should I maximize it? It's good, right?
I prefer you would have waited until I transitioned.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
Really? Hold on. I got to dig up OBS here.
Can I pause the timer?
I can pause
the timer, please, Sean.
I can take a screenshot and if you want, if you'd rather.
And I got to. This is not easy to do on it.
Probably would be easier because I'm not seeing a damn thing.
And I gotta. You can't see the screen?
Trying. I saw a glimpse and then it just went dead. So I'm guessing it's this platform that we're using. I'm using the web browser version, so I'll make do with what I can.
Okay, it's just showing that this particular experiment that's all the way down a very lengthy level floor. And you'll see these domino looking things, which are actually like little canisters, but there's a line that clearly goes up, and then you'll see at a certain point that line stops going up and becomes a horizon line in which all the things after that fall behind. And if you go further in this video, you can see that he's showing here that something that you may not notice. Again, you can look at the bottoms of these canisters going up to a certain point, and then they become the horizon line with everything after that falling behind it. So that's what you see when you see your boat behind the hard line of the water. You see the little waves going and everything. And everything after that line reduces with size due to perspective, but goes behind that water line. And if you get really close in here, when he zooms in, you'll notice something that you probably didn't even see, that this is all repeated, that this ground after here is an identical copy, which is also what we see further out in distances. We see a reflection or a mirage, if you want to call it that. And this happens pretty much at every observation. And I could show images where you'll see here he drew a line where this stops and becomes the horizon line. So I think that there's evidence that clearly shows that we can describe what's going on at the water as a certain distance of water that ramps up until it gets to the hard line of the horizon, and anything after that reduces in size due to perspective. Therefore, you expect to see boats behind that hard line of the horizon due to our eyes, due to an optical effect. To believe what you believe, you have to then say that there's people upside down from you. And, you know, that's, to me, not a logical following of saying, well, boats are going over by a little bit. We can see boats. We can only see the mast of the boat. Or only can see the sail. But then to say that there's buildings sideways further than that and upside down if we continued further, to me, is just not the logical conclusion. There has to be something else we can look at, and this is it right here, that when you're looking at a long distance of flat land, that the because of our eyes, you have the ground that ramps up to the point where the sky and the ground meet. At a certain distance, your eyes don't resolve anymore the floor because there's not a big enough angle to hit your optical device, which is either a camera or your eye. And after that, you can see the tops of those black boxes down there, but you can no longer see the bottoms because they're obscured behind this hard line of the horizon. So
cool. Then the very moment that we're actually able to replicate Soundley's bridge observation, doing exactly what you did and make it exactly the same, no different, then I'll go ahead and believe this, because I just switched over to the live feed to see what it was that you were actually pointing to. A few things here. One, it looks like you're doing this in a warehouse, and as someone who has worked in the warehouse, I can tell you that the floor is not always perfectly flat. Believe me, we had a cart that would roll around on its own. And secondly, it looks like it's either baking in the sun or something, causing some atmospheric distortion. Remember what I said at the very beginning of my piece of evidence. I said that there is no distortion in this particular clip. And because there is no distortion in this particular clip, that cannot be used as an excuse for why we are seeing ships and other objects disappear behind the horizon. But I know exactly that this is going to require a little bit more in-depth conversation, so I'm going to save that. But with your permission, Jaren, I would like to ask you a question.
Of course.
Okay, perfect. So can you please explain to me how an equatorial telescope mount works on a globe?
On a globe?
Not on a flat Earth, on a globe.
You aim it at a star and it can turn in a circle.
Yeah, and it can follow that star while maintaining the same orientation in the frame, right?
Correct.
Perfect. Okay, so that's how an equatorial telescope mount works on a globe. Now, can you please tell me how that works on a flat Earth?
You point it at the star and it turns in a circle.
Now, how is that geometrically possible? Because remember, an equatorial telescope will only turn on one axis. So if you turn it in one axis, you would not be following a star that is rotating overhead. In fact, it would drift in frame and then out of frame again. There is no way to make that work on a flat Earth.
Okay, so tell me.
So do you know how you get around that that contradiction?
Well, so you're saying that somebody who is looking at the sun from, say, 60 degrees north, and they show their telescope pointing at the sun and they turn it throughout the day with the sun, isn't that turning in a complete and total circle?
No, it's going in a straight line. It's only turning in on one axis. Right. So that telescope is going to stay at that same axis from sunrise to sunset. Now, if you were to plot that same telescope on the exact same position on any flat Earth map, it wouldn't. Yet why does the telescope mount actually work?
Well, I think, again, you're presupposing that we live on a globe, because if the Earth is flat, then it's happening on the flat Earth. And so what's the difference?
This isn't a presupposition. I'm asking you a question. It's not a presupposition to ask a question, Jaren.
You're saying that it doesn't work and that I can't take a telescope and follow a star on my front yard in a circle? Because I can't.
Oh, I know that you can, because everyone else has demonstrated that you can, as right. evidenced by every single astrophotographer on the planet. My question is, how do you make that work on a flat Earth?
Well, because you mean that you get to describe a celestial sphere where all the stars are perpendicular to the center of the Earth, which is ridiculous. I mean, that's what you have to believe in order to say that we can turn a telescope in a circle and it follow all the stars. What are you talking about? The stars are varying distances of so great a difference that how would that be possible on a globe Earth?
That is a great straw man. We might get back to it. I asked the question yet again. How can you demonstrate that an equatorial telescope mount works on a flat Earth?
Yeah, if I go outside and I put it at a star, and then it will follow that star throughout the night and then throughout the day behind me, and then it will come around again. So it went in a circle.
That doesn't demonstrate that you're actually making your observation on a flat Earth. That just means you went outside to do the observation. The question is not whether or not you can make the observation. The question is, how does your observation make sense on a flat Earth?
Because if you turn the telescope in a circle, it's going to follow the circular path of the star. I guess I'm lost at what you're trying to say. I think you're basically claiming that that's already proof of the globe and saying, so since it's proof of the
globe. I made no such claim.
Okay. Well, if you're saying that you want to know how we do it on a flat Earth, and I'm saying it can be done, and I think that the Earth is level and flat, you're saying by what mechanism am I able to do that?
Well, then let's go ahead and try this. Because Wolfie, myself, and Sean Hufford have all put our drones up for collection, I guess you could say, to the first flat earther that's actually able to demonstrate a equatorial mount working on a flat Earth. So, for the people watching tonight's debate, would you be able to demonstrate that and collect our drones?
In a model size or on a computer program, what is allowed?
Computer program modeled in reality. I don't actually need to model it in a computer program. I could do it with a globe and a protractor and, 2 minutes. I'm wondering if you can do the same.
Okay. And you'd also be able to model, water sticking to a globe that's spinning. And would we be able to model that?
That's a great straw man, but I'm asking you about...
That's not a straw man if it's your belief. That's what you.
No, it is a straw man because that's not the actual point I'm making, Jared.
Okay.
I'm making a totally separate point. You're bringing something that's completely irrelevant to that point.
I will look
water sticking how to model is model relevant that. To an extra amount.
Okay. Well, I will look into how to model that for you on a flat Earth model. The problem with my particular belief in the flat Earth is that I don't have a model that works. And that doesn't mean, like I said at the beginning, that. My claim is false. Obviously
you're right there, but if you don't have a model, then would you or would you not agree that of the two models being proposed for tonight's debate, that at the very least mine comports to reality better?
I guess if you want to say that it's okay to be lied to, then sure. Then your model better explains reality. If you want to say that lies are okay. But once you see that you're being lied to, then it would be completely ridiculous to follow or promote or to praise said model. The things that Newton did and the things that Einstein did weren't great. They were fantastic. They were great thinkers. But to be putting your entire career behind something that's false because you're taking axioms that aren't actually true, that aren't shouldn't be your foundations, then a lot of those guys could have gone much further if they would have known the truth of where they live. But
the good thing about it is that you can actually go much further, which is why I'm wondering, out of the 3 years that you've been doing this, why hasn't any flat earther actually gone further and presented a model that actually better conforms to reality than the one that I presented for tonight's debate? You have the same access to the tools and equipment that I do. You are living in the same reality that I am, and therefore you should be able to investigate just as much as I have and come to the correct conclusion that is, quote, not a lie.
Okay.
I'm wrong.
Well, I think you are wrong. I think you're very wrong. I think that...
Then explain that. Explain how you do not have access to the equipment that I have.
It's not that having access to the equipment, all the 400 years of people putting down tables and everything for you to use, every device has been devised in order to show what you want to show. So if I'm using those same devices, it becomes a little bit difficult when you're talking about Jesse Kozlowski, and he's going to go out and tell me, here, use my transit. You have the same device that I have to prove that the Earth curves away from you. And I say, well, no, you're looking through a bunch of atmosphere. The item's dropping in the distance. You're calling that drop curve. Well, he's going to say, no, it's not curve. The facts are that that's, I'm sorry, no, it's not perspective. It's actually curve. And so what good is me using his equipment if I have to follow the rules set forth by those who think they're in charge of everything that we see?
What who is this we that you keep on referring to? Because you keep saying that you have to conform to a certain, I guess, ethic in doing your observations and adhering to the use of equipment. No, you don't. If you wish to rewrite the textbooks, that is actually welcomed, contrary to the belief of literally every flat earther out there.
Yeah, but it's a very difficult thing. I mean, you know, you're going to ask somebody, what are their qualifications? What are their credentials? And of course, we've got.
Hey, I am an absolute nobody from Florida, and yet I was able to present you with evidence that speak on their own merits.
Okay, so would you agree with me that if we're talking about changing the world, if we're talking about making groundbreaking discoveries, who has a better chance of doing that? You filming NASA launches and yelling at people and cussing and berating anybody who questions outside of what is currently thought to be the truth, or me, somebody who's willing to question, who's willing to go against the grain and possibly discover something that nobody else has discovered before? I'm not saying that's a possibility for me. I'm just asking you, who would be more likely?
Who would be more likely to change the world? You would, because I have 16,000 subscribers. You have 100,000 subscribers. Your message can reach a wider audience, and that wider audience has a louder voice than mine. And not only that, but those wider audience can be in contact with people who can actually get your work published. Just like I've been able to make connections, you're able to make connections too. We live in a wonderful world called the internet, which has been brought to you by science, thankfully. And you can use it like everybody else.
And I agree with you. And that's the plan, because I'm certainly at a point where you're right to keep. I just think it's surprising that there is no globe experiment that is repeatable, mechanical, that's not observation, that's not like a optics impacted, that there's no kind of proof of the curvature of the Earth that is a go-to, or that people can say, here, look at this, besides, you know, boats over the edge. But I just showed that there's other things that can cause that. So I would like to eventually tell you this idea for an experiment, because I do think it's one where I'm setting myself up for fail, meaning that I'm trying to prove something that would prove the globe, something that I would walk away from if it did show what the globe result would show. I would walk away and say that the Earth is curved in an instant.
Well, not quite. Not if you're intellectually honest, because here's the thing. I could want a certain result, just like Thomas Edison wanted his first design of the light bulb to actually work. He wanted it so bad, but like it or not, it didn't work. And he had to keep trying and trying and trying until reality was the final arbiter of truth. Our job here is to try and construct the most accurate map of reality as possible. And it's in our best interest to believe as many true things and as few false things as possible. The only way you go through that is that you put your biases aside and you say, okay, let's see what happens. Let's see if the globe model prediction turns out to actually be fact. And then you let the evidence speak for itself. And that's exactly what Sly did. That's what I did. That's what everyone else that I referenced did. And flat earthers have the same capability, yet they're the ones that are outright denying everything that's been brought to them.
All right. Time is up. I'm going to give Jaron the last sentence here.
I was just going to say, things are fantastic, but they don't mean that that's where we live. It's just the back and forth I think you and I have had could be summarized under three words, and that's math is reality. Because it's something that you believe that because someone has given you the math of it, that it makes it reality, and it doesn't. And I think that that's said in Copernicus's book when he says at the end, or throughout the, or I think it's done by the Andreas Osiander, who says that the reason that astronomers exist and what they're trying to do is not to prove reality. It's to give a model that can kind of lead people to understand the stars better. And, you know, therefore, along the ancient hypothesis, which are no more probable, Let us permit these new hypotheses also become known, especially since they are admirable as well as simple and bring with them a huge treasure of very skillful observations. But so far as hypotheses are concerned, let no one expect anything certain from astronomy, which cannot furnish it, lest he accept as the truth ideas conceived for another purpose and depart from the study a greater fool than when he entered it. It clearly, this was a system that was not meant to be here. This is the truth here. This is, we have planets out there that are this size and their orbit. That's why Copernicus didn't know the size of the planets, because he was developing a system that would mathematically explain the motions of the lights in the sky. And then somebody came along after him and said, oh, by the way, those things are real. They're planets you can go to. They're this size, they're this distance. And it's carried on and on to the point where now you're claiming that those things are true. And you've never been to space, and I've never been to space, and you've never been to Saturn, and I've never been to Saturn. Yet you're telling people that your numbers confirm that there is a planet, Saturn, out there that has
radio. Jaren, I said it was the last sentence because we're already 2 minutes past the overtime.
Okay, go ahead. Whatever you need to
do. And yeah, it's just you. I gave you a last sentence and you went on with like three paragraphs. So just stop right now.
You've read the last sentence. I could care less.
So it is time for questions from the audience. So please present your questions in the chat and we will get to them as best we can. I'll let Steve and Kyle determine when this section is going to end. This is not a timed one.
Okay.
Right now, let's get the super chats out of the way first while we're getting questions from the live chat. Want to do that first?
Yeah.
Okay, it's fine where we're at here because, oh man, I had quite a few super chats. One sec.
Oh, and everybody, we broke our all-time stream record once held by Aaron Ron Kent Hovind. It now belongs to Reds and Jaronism. So, congrats. Nice.
And Kyle was correct. 1,000. He had estimated about 1,000. I said about 500. He did really well in that estimate. So
I won a championship belt plated in gold and sent to me. I will hand deliver
it to you. It's not going to be a copper, okay? All right. So
with a couple extras.
Yeah, he'll give you some extras. All right, so the super chats. Ruhif says this will be epic. I think that was at the very beginning of this, and I think that clearly that prediction came true. Jammy, what's up with all the lovers of blue balls? I'm not really a fan of blue balls, but hey. Cookie Nibs, it's Friday. Hope it's a dumpster fire. That's going to be up for you guys to decide. Shane, a couple super chats. Kyle, I love you. I don't know if that's an admirer or stalker.
I love you too. It's
completely up to you.
I love you too.
Like a dating service now. Puffleupicus. Copernicus didn't know about calculus though, Jaren. I'm going to skip the pejoratives. Jarenism forfeited the debate already. Top Keck. Zero says, Jaren can't evidence because he doesn't know what the evidence is. He already lost the debate, not y'all. Insidious, he's running the gamut on logical fallacies, ignorance, black swan, incredulity. This is the epitome of Dunning-Kruger. Let me say that again, sorry. This is the epitome of Dunning-Kruger. Johnny V, loser of this debate is officially hashtag bitch made. Ouch. Insidious, sharing, but if this was a fight, the referee would have already stopped it. Reds KO. Jammy, Jaronism, light doesn't bend, it refracts. Wikipedia, refraction is the bending of light. Ruhif, Kyle, 10 Ted would bang.
I would bang you too.
Okay.
hey, Steve, let me jump in real quick because sure. I have an actual question here.
Just
this
in
regard to this is to Jaren. It says, do you accept that the ISS is a tangible object above us? How high? And if you don't know, please. How would you measure it? How fast? And if you don't know, how would you measure it?
Yeah, I mean, I saw it. I got the transfer or the transit myself in front of the moon. So I don't deny that it appears to be some sort of craft at that height that they say. But as far as believing in people being inside of it or that people get in the top of rockets and take off to there, those things I don't believe yet. But yeah, was that the rest of the question was, if I don't know the speed, how would I measure it?
Yeah.
I think that you would use triangulation to do that. But again, I think even triangulation is iffy sometimes if you're talking about whether or not we're talking about from a flat earth or from a curved earth. What exactly kind of geometry are we using? And are we taking into account the change maybe in the, because I don't know, when you look at the way that they figured out, going back to the very beginning, when you look at how they figured out the distance to the first planet, because just imagine that we're all sitting here on Earth and somebody needs to come up with a distance to one of the planets. Imagine the impossibility that that would be. Of course, it's all done through pseudoscience. It's not actual science, because there is, how would you get that? Explain to me how we got the first distance. Well, you know what they did is they figured out, oh, well, we can get the distance to Mars because we just need to take two observations from the same place, 12 hours different, and pretend that the other end of the Earth rotated into this place. And they call that two observations. It's ridiculous because the Earth has traveled thousands of miles in that time, yet that's where they got the distance to Mars, and that's where everything was based off of from the beginning. Then you get Venus, then you can see the sun, it goes across the sun. It's just all such nonsense. If you actually really think about it and really do the research, you'll see that it's all a story. There's no way it could have ever been done in the way that they say. But I did want to say, some people will say I lose the debate or whatever. What people don't realize is that nobody who believes in a flat earth heard what Red said right now and is now going to believe in the globe, because he's not providing the kind of evidence that makes up for all the errors in the globe. The difference is maybe I possibly convinced somebody that there is a reason to look into the globe. So as far as winning or losing the debate, I'll say I lost. Hey, I lost this debate. Oh, shucks. But believe me, the flat earth movement will continue to grow until science and astronomy and NASA and these people prove what they're claiming. And they don't prove it. They, every day they make it more of a joke.
Okay. Rez, I know that you personally have measured the distance from the ISS. Did you want to tag in on that?
Sure. Kyle, I'm going to leave it to you. How would you like me to answer this? Do you want to just explain what I did, or do you have a different question about it?
Yeah. Because one of the questions was asking, how would you measure that distance? And since you and someone else did that, it might be good to put that out there.
Yes. Myself and Astronomy Live went to Venice, Florida, to measure the ISS altitude, because we wanted to debunk the incredibly ridiculous claim that the ISS is an aircraft or a winged aircraft or a drone or a balloon or whatever the case may be. And we wanted to show that at that altitude, it would be impossible for a airplane, a balloon, or whatever to reach. So what we did is that we waited for the ISS to transit the moon, which you can do very easily by using a site called Transit Finder, which is the exact same site that Jaren used. So Astronomy Live was positioned in one area. I was 1.11 kilometers away. That allowed us to get a parallax measurement of the ISS. So I saw the ISS transit one part of the moon, and Astronomy Live saw the ISS transit another part of the moon. And by using the moon as a reference point, because it was 0.52 degrees wide, that meant that the transit gap was, basically 0.1212 degrees. Because we were able to make that into a right triangle and do a little bit of trigonometry, we were able to find out that the ISS had an altitude of around 418 kilometers, which is impossible for an aircraft to reach. Astronomy Live, then by using his telescope to measure those precise angles, was also able to use software to measure its size as well as its speed. And it all comports perfectly to what the nameless, faceless they at NASA tell us. It looks like there is some truth to what they tell us on the internet.
Okay. Awesome. All right. The next question is for Jaren. When measuring east to west, why does east to west circumnavigations below the equator get smaller the further you go south?
Well, because the lines of longitude are developed to be on a globe. So you're going to have southern circumferences that appear to get smaller. But I think that there's plenty of evidence to show that that's not the case. You can look for shipping routes. You can look for cruise routes that take those specific lines of latitude, and you will find that they don't exist. And you can look for underground sea cables that would be run from New Zealand to South America, and they don't exist. And look for underground sea cables from Australia to South America. They don't exist. Why? Well, in my opinion, the reason they don't exist is because that distance is not as small as you think. So when somebody goes out and tries to lay 7,000 miles of cable and they come up short, that's going to be quite a big problem So they would just rather run them up north. They run them all the way to Japan, all the way across to Alaska, down to the west coast of the United States, and then down to South America. So as far as that, that is an interesting test, though, that should be able to be done. And this is the kind of thing I'm talking about where, you know, Elon Musk was going to build a little mini kid sub to go save these kids. And that's fantastic. I have more power to him. But somebody with that kind of money, you think would be able to do a test to conclusively prove the shape of the Earth, which is something that I've never seen, should be a monument somewhere that shows the curvature of the Earth for students to be taken as a field trip. And there's not. And there's, in my mind, a reason for that. If there's something that could prove the globe, you can bet your ass it would be paraded all over the place, but it's not. Just like, the Foucault's pendulum used to be used until it was realized that it had to be kept basically magnetically moving. And the way that they describe now is, start it swinging, and if it swings the wrong way, then stop it and start it again. There's just so much problems with it. That's why nobody goes around claiming that's the proof of the spinning Earth. To get back to your question, east, west, yeah, but the test should be done because you're right. On a flat Earth map, absolutely, the southern hemisphere, if you have somebody traveling east or west, they have to be making a circle. Let's say they're traveling east, they have to be making a circle turning left, whereas on the globe, that person would be traveling east and making a circle going right. But that's one thing that very few people even realize, that going east or west on a globe is a circle. They think that it's straight line, which it's not, unless you're talking about the equator. The equator would be the only way to go east or west and stay straight. Otherwise, you're always turning in reference to the North Pole, which certainly sounds a lot like the flat Earth map more to me than the globe.
All right, we got to get through the rest of these super chats, and then we do have a few more questions I could either ask.
I'm going to tell everybody we're going to probably cut those off so that we can get through the ones that we have.
Now. The rest of the questions?
Yeah. Well, I'm saying don't send any more and expect to get them on.
Yeah, let's just get through the rest that we have now. They're not that many. I'm just going to rattle them off because we do read them off. Jaren, if people can't be upside down relative to us, why are there pictures of the moon from the southern hemisphere upside down to the north view?
Let me answer that one real quick, real simply. Put a circle on your ceiling, mark one side of it A, the other side B, and walk across your room and look at it from the other side of the room. And guess what? It's upside down. Next.
Okay. Can I respond real quick? In that case, then the angular size of the moon would change throughout the day, which we don't see.
Yeah. Okay. So people have noted that you've admitted that they say, I don't have a model that works. So they've noted that in Super Chat that you don't have a model that works. Everybody stop hurting Jaren's feelings. Jaren, perspective doesn't make objects appear lower than they are. Will you admit that flerspector and perspective are different? Do you think perspective and flerspective are the same thing?
Hmm?
Will you admit that flerspective and perspective are different?
Perspective?
Flerspective.
I didn't even know that exists. What is that?
What is that?
Perspective is the perspective that flat earthers seem to have that nobody else has, or they certainly see certain things that nobody else has.
It's the flat earth redefinition of the word perspective.
I see what they did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm just going to kind of really just go through. Jaronism, why do objects fall in a vacuum tube? That's a super chat question.
My question would be, why do they fall at the same speed if they are ones of much greater mass? The laws of gravity say they should fall at different speeds.
It does?
If it's attraction, you take mass times the mass times over the distance squared, then a bowling ball would be more of a gravitational pull than a feather.
Actually, they shouldn't change because here's the thing. It takes force to make an object move from a dead stop to whatever speed it's going to go. So even though the bowling ball has more pull, it also has more mass that needs to get moving in the same amount of time. The feather, even though it has less mass, requires less force to get started moving, and everything equals out. The end result is that they both fall at the same exact rate. That's why gravitational acceleration on Earth is 9.8 meters per second squared, regardless of the object. It doesn't say 9.8 meters per second squared for a bowling ball, for a feather, for a car, or a used tampon, who knows?
Hold on a second. So you said it takes a force to get, but if you just drop the item, they're falling. So what's the force?
Gravity. Gravity is the force.
Okay. Gravity provides. You're doing a circular argument. Then if gravity is decided by a all, you know, it's just a number. It's just a big G, but you could, we could leave big G out of it and just use mass of the first item times mass of the second over the distance squared. So the force of gravity is going to be more for an item with more mass. You can't.
The force is mass times acceleration. Okay. And so if you have more mass, you're also going to have more force. But what you're forgetting is that it takes force to move more mass. If you have more mass that you have to move, then it requires more force to get that object moving. Gravity is no different. And so even though the mass is bigger, therefore resulting in a stronger gravitational pull for that one object, a bowling ball weighs more, it's going to take a lot more force to even get moving. The end result is that it evens out over all the masses when it comes to gravitational acceleration.
Okay. Now what we're going to do is I'll throw it back over to Sean so that you guys can make your closing statements, and then we'll wrap up.
Sounds good.
Well, Jaron, you win the coin toss, so you go ahead and get your closing statement first.
Okay. I mean, I'll just keep it real short that I understand why many people hate the flat earth. I didn't want to be a flat earther. It's the last thing that I want is to be laughed at or, you know, just because of my beliefs. You know, I believe in free speech. I believe that you guys can say whatever you want. I've never been on anyone's channel yelling and screaming at them, calling them names, threatening their family, calling in death threats. It's ridiculous. It's an absolute joke that people think that they have the intellectual high ground simply because they were taught something in school and that it must be true, even though none of us have been to space. Now, anybody listening to this has ever seen the Earth as a ball. So simply because you trust men and I don't is not permission for people to basically put me down and think lesser of me. That's fine. If you want to do that, I don't care. That's fine by me. But at the same time, it's not something that I do. So, you know, and if people think that, oh, in your videos, you make fun of people for believing in the globe Earth. It's because what I'm trying to do is get people to at least recognize the fact that it is possible that we were lied to. And that alone is a step that many people cannot take. They just refuse to even believe that that is possible. And I think that's a big step in our future, is recognizing that it is possible that we're fooled and lied to, because it will create a better citizenry of people that to look out for deceptions and don't fall for them. And I'm one that fell for the religious deception. Growing up, I fell for the tricks of the trade. And when I went into science, I expected to see something different. And what I found was the same exact thing. It's stories being told. It's things you have to believe. It's your high priest that you're not allowed to question. And you know, peer review is no different than the College of Cardinals getting together and deciding something on theology. It's the same thing. It's not the way that you would progress a society. So again, I'll admit that the globe Earth it explains some things pretty well, but with that comes belief in magical things that I cannot believe in until I'm shown evidence. You should not tell children that they're flying 480,000 miles per hour around a sun that's a million times bigger than the Earth without being able to provide the kind of evidence that is required to make such a lofty ass claim, that we're also traveling 2.2 million miles per hour around the great attractor that's never been observed. So to claim those things are fact. When you hear things like Michio Kaku say that, you know, cosmology and the connection with quantum mechanics is off by an order of 10 to the 120th, and it's the biggest mismatch in the history of science, that's reason enough for you to start questioning these people that we think are telling us the truth, and they think they know. Again, they think that a neutron star, a teaspoon, weighs 22 billion pounds. If you believe that, then to me, you've lost your mind, period. And so when you're talking about the shape of the Earth, if the globe was true, it would be evident. We would see it everywhere. We would recognize it as true. We would see videos and photographs and recognize them as true. And many people say that they do. I used to think that way. And that's why I'm different than you, is because I used to think that those things were evidence and proof until I sat down and really looked at them and scrutinized the moon landings and scrutinized every NASA video you can possibly find. And that's when I said, wait a second, these guys are not showing the kind of things that would be proof. You know, where's the camera on the moon? Where's the showing the Earth? Where's the 24/7 camera so that the ISS, we can actually track it, not just during the night when they say it's coming by, but at all times.
This is a closing statement, not a soapbox.
Sorry. Okay, soapbox getting off it. My closing statement is I appreciate Red for not chewing me out tonight. That's always a pleasant afternoon. And thank Non Sequitur for coming on. And yeah, I do think that there is a test that can be done. I've been working with a guy in Australia who specializes in fishing string and fishing spectra and polyethylene fibers. And we were able to get a hold of one that we can stretch for 3 miles or run for 3 miles and start it off above the waterline and winch it as hard as it will go. And if the earth is a globe, that line will cut through the water at a foot deep at the middle of those 3 miles. And if that happens, I will walk away from that test and say the earth is absolutely a curved surface, or at least that section of water is a curved surface, which I don't believe as of now. I don't think that any water curves. So I'm out there trying to do risky experiments like that one that will disprove my position. I don't see anybody out trying to disprove the globe at all because they love it too much and they would never do anything to bring any doubt upon it. You know, one other thing people said about my recent video that's up about that experiment down at the Salton Sea, and they laugh and joke, and this guy put up, even flat earthers, why do you leave that up, man? It's a failed experiment. And I leave it up because I'm honestly looking for the truth. And I honestly know that if anybody who believes in the globe went out and did something and the test didn't show what they think it was going to show, they wouldn't put it on YouTube. That's the difference, is I leave it up because it's a truthful representation of my journey to find the truth. So whether or not the test proved what people want it to prove, it's evidence of us trying. So for me, I'm going to keep trying until I find something that's proof. Showing me boats and saying this boat went over the edge when there's other explanations is not proof. So that's it.
All right. Red, your closing statement?
Yeah, mine's going to be a lot shorter than his. So hope that's okay with everyone. Let me repeat what I said at the very beginning of this debate. If my opponent wishes to argue against me, then he better not bring up NASA, SpaceX, ULA, Boeing, Roscosmos, ESA, JAXA, Blue Origin, Sierra Nevada Corporation, or Rocket Lab, or any other the fuck ton of entities that have the coin needed to get their asses to orbit. Why? Because I won't be bringing them up, and neither should he. He can claim CGI all he wants, but if he does, just be aware that he is basically arguing against a straw man this entire time, which actually damages his side of the debate. Argue against the points that I actually brought up. And in fact, didn't I at the very beginning say that you don't need to go to NASA? You don't need to go to Neil deGrasse Tyson or Michio Kaku or whoever. You don't even need to go to the church that imprisoned Galileo. You don't have to go to anybody on the internet. You don't have to go to anybody. You yourself can verify this. And unfortunately, you have done little, if anything, to verify it or deny it, whichever. Also, you also mentioned how people are being mean to you, and may I give you a reason why people are being mean to you? It's because you're disrespectful. I know you like to harp on this rhetoric that you are so respectful and stuff like that, but the thing is that respectful people will attack the person's argument, not the person themselves. And you, using Stephen Hawking's disability as a springboard for a bunch of cheap jokes, shows that you are actually not a respectful person. You do not respect those that are against you. And so people have every right to give you just as much respect as you give other people, which is hardly any at all. Now you know exactly why I am so vitriolic to you. It's because if you can't dish it, or if you can't take it, don't fucking dish it. The question for tonight's debate was very simple. Which model best comports with reality, round or flat? Well, in this debate, we all had the opportunity to hear what Jarenism had to say. So with that, I ask the following. Has Jarenism presented evidence to show that his model can make predictions? Has Jarenism presented a valid workaround for the contradictions that plague his model? Has Jarenism demonstrated how his model comports with reality? I think the answer to all those questions are obvious, dare I say objective, because Jaren even admitted himself that he doesn't have a model. So I will commit the crime of stating what I believe to be obvious. He has not. But not only has he not demonstrated how his model comports with reality, he had nothing against the points I brought up in support of how the globe comports with reality. Granted, he attempted to counter my points, but I believe my rebuttals were sufficient to show that my points are based on facts and that those facts show that my position is the more reasonable one to hold. Jaren, a person that is so quick to call his position the truth as evidenced by his channel, should have had an easier time presenting evidence compared to the charade that we saw in his opening. And more importantly, He should have been able to easily show how my position is a lie, a fabrication, a clever bullshit story, or just simply false. In the past, he has called the round earth model a well-crafted lie, and that they, being the flat earthers, can see through it. They have become woke. The exact quote from Jarenism on October 8th, 2017, they would rather believe a well-crafted lie instead of the truth that has a few holes in it. Well, explain the logical path you took to arrive at that answer, because you sure haven't done that yet. If we are to believe your claim that something is a lie, maybe you should demonstrate it to be a lie. And if you are unable to demonstrate it, maybe some intellectual honesty, plus an admission, would be in order. Maybe starting with the holes that are in your so-called truth. If you want to think that the Earth is flat, that's fine. You are more than welcome to believe in a contradictory model. You are more than welcome to believe in a model that can't make accurate positions. You are more than welcome to believe that everyone is lying to you despite the evidence to the contrary. In other words, you are more than welcome to be wrong on your own time. But until you are able to win a debate like this, I recommend that you shut the fuck up.
All right.
No, well, free speech.
All right.
I agree. Free speech is a good thing.
All right. Sean, are you finished on your end?
No. I would just like to remind everybody that the format of this debate was to bring forth evidence in support of your model. And Jaren avoided that entirely in his opening statement. Never got around to bringing evidence for his model. I'm very disappointed in that because I was under the understanding he was actually trying to find one to actually present. So, as I said early on, I am biased. I am staying out of the debate. I'm just giving my as unbiased opinion as I can give based on the format. You did not follow it, Jaren. So I am very disappointed in that. Reds was very out of character because at my request, because I wanted this to be as uninterrupted as possible. But I do thank you for coming on, Jaren. It's always fun to have you. With that, I think I can turn it back over to you guys with what my opinion of the debate was.
Okay, awesome. Well, on behalf of Steve and I, we want to thank all three of you for coming on. Sean for moderating, Jarenism, and Reds. Always a good time when you guys come on. We are going to have an after show for this. It will be in 30 minutes, so right around 10:35. Also, we put a poll up on our Twitter, at Nonsec Show, about which model you think best comports to reality. You can go on there and vote. It will be up for a day. So go and vote on that. And I think that's all that I have, Steve.
Just need to mention real quick that tomorrow we're going to be having the Flat Earth Roast. We have a lot of people that are going to be either joining us or sending in videos for that. I believe Reds might be. We have Psy Strike. We've got, I have the whole list. One second.
Greater Sapien,
Blue Marble. Sorry, I lost the list. Do you remember all the names?
I think I gave the list to you. Tau City Alpha is going to be there. I know. Simon Dan. A bunch of people. Godless Engineer.
A lot of people are going to be there for the...
Eris, Cosmological. So. Quite a few. Yeah.
Yeah, here we go. Greater Sapien, Simon Dan, Cosmological, Godless Engineer, Cyrus the Skeptic, Blue Marble, Team Skeptic, Psy Strike, Reds, Rhetoric, and maybe a few other surprises. So,
at 8 o'clock. Anything else, Steve?
No, I think that's going to wrap it up. I want to thank Jaren for coming in, and Reds Rhetoric, and especially Sean for coming in and moderating this. And I think you did all an excellent job in doing that. Thank you.
Absolutely, and thank you to everybody who put those super chats up. To our Patreons, you will get first dibs for the after show. Just email Steve. We're going to be using Zoom, not Hangouts, so that we can get in a little bit more than 8 people. Like usual, we'll try to, since this is a bigger crowd, we're going to try to accommodate a little bit more than we usually do. So we'll see how that works, and we'll see you back here in 30 minutes. So thank you to everybody. All, thank you, Dave, as always, wonderful, the best producer ever. You're the best. So, and everybody else, we'll see you in about 30 minutes.